Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 9th of June, recording at looks like 8:59 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights on this day, such as they are. And it's a quieter day than Friday. You may well be relieved to hear. But Asian stock markets were down where they were open. There were a number that weren't open, but they closed above their lows of the day. Some of them closed near their highs of the day, although I emphasize that they were down. And an example of that is the Japan's Nikkei, which declined 2.13%, or 308 points. European stock markets were mostly lower. They seesawed a little bit, no big action. And Wall Street was mostly steady during the day, closing with modest gains on the Dow. And they were getting late trading, but it looks like it's up 76 points, a point and a half on the S&P, so small stuff. NASDAQ's actually down, though, but off its lows. And in long-dated government bonds, these were weaker here across the board. A big slump in the gilts, I see. And interestingly, they were sharply higher on the opening, obviously in anticipation of a panicky action in stock markets, and sold off sharply. The U.S. dollar, that rebounded in here today, and currently, well, the euro has fallen back. It's a big swing here. The euro got up to 158.42, and it's currently 156.25, and the dollar index is at 72.94. That's up 556 ticks. Precious metals had started the day stronger, but then eased, with gold down nearly $10 in after-hours trading. And crude oil swung around. It got up to, well, it opened a little below the close that we saw on Friday. High of the day was 138.35, dipped down to 133 shortly after Saudi oil minister said that the current price wasn't justified. It's currently 134.70. That's down 384. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, pretty nervous markets, as you have seen, but interestingly, we didn't get the big meltdown here today that many people were actually fearing. But there was some decidedly negative action. This time, though, it wasn't in the Dow, and it wasn't in the oil price in terms of a headwind. It's the weakness of these bank shares. And this does have me concerned, because they've just been falling steadily here for must be about a month. The declines are gathering pace, so they were gathering pace on Friday and again today. So with Wall Street bouncing a bit, that didn't stem the decline in the S&P 500 Banks Index one iota. And we had similar weakness in the UK banks index. So that is not good action. Slightly steadier on a relative basis for the European banks index, but still down on the day. Now, you know, I'm a believer that banks are a lead indicator more often than not, and that generally what's good for the banks is also good for the rest of the markets in terms of performance. So this weakness in the bank shares, while it continues, does call into question the strength of the January and March lows. Now, we with the declines accelerating in the banks, there's still time and scope for a bounce, for a rebound back up into the ranges, which would calm things down. But at the moment, it's for the bulls to prove. And needless to say, if we continue to get additional weakness in the bank shares, then that will drag these indices back down to and quite probably through the lows that we've seen. I'm not forecasting that at this stage. I'm watching, but what I'm watching is a deterioration relative to what we had a month ago. Remember, we had that very good rally off the March lows, and that carried on into last month and enabled most indices to push above their February highs in the West, and a very strong rally, of course, in the NASDAQ index. Still hasn't given that up. The transports, outstanding leadership on the upside for U.S. indices. Resources indices, Russia, Canada, South Africa, Brazil, above all others, had surged to new all-time highs. So there were quite a few bullish pointers out there, but this renewed and persistent weakness by the banks does call into question that more bullish hypothesis. So we're not out of the woods here yet, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, if you're short, I am not short. I have long positions in terms of my long-term investment portfolio and some trading long positions, although I have reduced those in terms of trading equity exposure more recently. Now, needless to say, this is a fairly tricky market in terms of making money, and therefore probably the smartest thing for us to do is as little as possible in here. I don't like selling when I think there's a fair amount of value around and a number of markets are quite depressed, and equally I don't like buying when I see deterioration in financial shares in here. I would like to be short of the government bonds, but I came out too early. I took my profits too early in those short positions, largely because they were fairly choppy, and I don't want to go in and sell them down at these levels. What I don't like, though, is that the best scenario for or the best chance of a significant rally in the long-dated government bond futures would be slumping stock markets. That would lead to the so-called flight to quality in terms of government bonds, which aren't quality at all. They're outrageously low yields against the background of inflation that we do have. I can't see anything else really lifting up those government bond markets all that much, aside from some periodic short covering leading to smaller rallies. Now, in the commodity markets, I had lightened my precious metal positions a little bit on Friday, and I think it was Friday that I did that, and taking some profits. Now, that looked like a bit of a bum decision around Friday's close and earlier today, but we did see this pullback in the steadier dollar overall. So really, I think what we're most likely to get is more of what you see, is that choppy action. And I was tempted to go in and, for instance, nibble at silver in here today, and I demurred because of the dollar's strength. And if that dollar strength carries through tomorrow, that might give me another chance to nibble. But I'm not going to take any big positions in here relative to what I've often held in the past. There's just too much uncertainty around. And you veteran subscribers have often heard me say that you and I can only deal with the reality of what markets provide. That's an obvious point, perhaps, or it should be an obvious point. But what it also means, put it in other words, is that we have to patiently wait until opportunities appear. Sometimes they're right around the corner. Sometimes, or sometimes we think, well, nothing's going to change here all that much, and then opportunities suddenly present themselves, such as some of the buying in precious metals a short while ago. Those buying opportunities back in mid-May, and or the buying opportunities in stock markets back in March, and right on into in through April. But we have to wait for them. And those who look at charts on a survey and select, viewing markets from the perspective of judges in an international beauty contest, usually find something popping up fairly quickly. What popped up last week, of course, was the soybeans and corn. I have a small long position, a couple of small long positions in the corn markets. They started off quite well here today, but closed off their highs. I'm not going to take much risks. I have fairly tight stops in these markets. But it does seem, I've written about this again today, so I won't elaborate here in the audio, but it does seem that we most likely will have some definite yield damage in those markets. And they may be interesting. They'll be volatile. That's just the way markets are. We never get away from that. But the sell-offs, I suspect, in the corn and soybeans will provide trading buying opportunities for speculators more often than not. Crude oil's action, that was a shocker, wasn't it? The two strong days on Thursday and Friday last week. But I was discussing that with Owen this morning, and I just, when it was up near the highs, I said, well, you know, when you get a market that hits a new high on a big upward move like that, it's usually too good to be true, or it looks too good to be true. It's not like a dynamic on a market that's been coming down and down and then suddenly gets an upward dynamic, and you think, right, that's going to trigger a wave of short covering and some new demand from people who've just been waiting for such a signal. Instead, when you get a market that's been going up and up, and then it gets the biggest surge, numerically at any rate, and in percentage terms for quite some time, I was going to say the biggest move numerically, possibly of all time, that $11 rally, and in percentage terms, a significant upward move. What was it, about 6%? So, or more. And that really looks a little bit climactic, but, and I've got to refer back to this $120 level, that crude really does need to break below $120 to indicate that a medium-term correction is underway. I've mentioned that on a number of occasions, and that's still the extremely important level. $3.50 for gasoline, I believe. Okay, I think that's pretty much it. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Chinese markets, the A shares, and Hong Kong here tomorrow morning. But I suspect they will start the day in better shape tomorrow than they would have started the day today had they been open. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.